Thank you very much, Mr. Javier, and good afternoon to all of you. And to those in the back 40, hello. So, well, you know, before we get too far from the day of Thanksgiving and our minds drift away from these thoughts about gratitude and thankfulness, I wanted to discuss one of the biggest impediments to truly being thankful and to truly being grateful. Now, as we begin, let me make clear that I don't have anyone in mind when I talk about subjects or when I give examples, but my message is meant for flawed Christians who want to get better, who want to become holy. So one of the things I'd like to ask is, why do people find it hard or unfulfilling to be or to express heartfelt gratitude and thankfulness? Have you noticed around the Thanksgiving time, not everyone loves to talk about what are they thankful for? Perhaps you've asked some of that question and seen them roll their eyes like, life. You know, there is a reason why people sometimes resist this. One Christian author and speaker said that they interviewed people and 90% of the people they talked to admitted to not forgiving someone, carrying around unforgiveness, and carrying around resentment. 90%. And the sampling group was in the tens of thousands. I don't think it's probably that much different for you and I and right here in this church. You know, when you think about it, it's probably a very predictable stumbling block for Christians because we read the Bible, we want to submit to God and do what's right. So most of us, we begin by behavior modification. Well, we can't murder someone when we get mad and angry, and probably punching them in the nose isn't quite looked upon real well, and of course curse them up a storm and give them a tongue lashing, that's not looked on real well. So I think many times without realizing it, we take our anger and our frustration and our feelings and we tend to bury it, and resentment starts to show up. So just what's so bad about resentment anyway? Well, it is the number one emotional cause of sickness and poor health. It is the foundation upon which a hard heart is created. It is the key ingredient to the unpardonable sin. It grows underground, often undetected, until it is large, powerful, and deeply rooted in our hearts and our minds and our souls. It destroys happiness, peace, and joy, only to replace them with bitterness, ingratitude, and a focus on self, and a focus and emphasis on suffering. Oftentimes, it begins to make someone talk about being the victim. It is the number one destroyer of all relationships, no matter what ones you talk about. Husbands, wives, parent, child, even member to an organization. When bitterness runs its course, these relationships are severed and weakened. It even reduces, in a very significant way, our ability to praise and worship God. It even has some of the same destructive components that addictive behaviors have. Namely, that it salves a hurt that later increases the hurt that you had in the beginning. In summary, resentment races through personalities and families, reducing the very life and essence of an individual, leaving him diseased and broken, both emotionally and physically. What is resentment? Exactly what am I talking about? When you distill it and boil it down to its essence, it is simply this. Resentment is hatred or anger gone underground, being stored up underneath the surface because forgiveness and reconciliation have not taken place. Resentment is hatred gone underground, being stored up beneath the surface because forgiveness and reconciliation are not or have not taken place. The concept is not hard to understand. What to do about it and how to deal with it, that's a little more difficult. It's not a shame that we struggle with it. What would be a shame is if we ignore it and just go on and leave it to be. Resentment is like an acid to the godly heart, and like any caustic, it burns and eats away at anything it touches. I heard a man once describe resentment this way. His name was David Jeremiah. He said, "We make believe that we are at peace, while furies rage within us. Beneath the surface, there is hidden and suppressed our hate. It opens the subterranean faucet of venom that will eventually affect all of our relationships in ways that we cannot predict nor comprehend at the time. Hate left to itself, denied and hidden, leaves us in a cold hell beneath insulated masks of feigned happiness. I thought those were pretty insightful words right there. This hatred and anger, it most often is caused because we have dealt improperly with pain, especially pain that is caused by not our doing, pain that is unjust, or where circumstances deal us a bad hand. This type of undealt with pain in an improper way leads to resentment. What are the telltale signs of resentment? First one I might list, there's many, we're going to go through a few. One is debt collecting. That's where you keep score of all the things that have been done wrong and who did them. There are the overt things where you say, you know what, I've been done wrong, it's not right, that person should pay for it, and I'm going to kind of make sure that happens. Sometimes we do it by the words we say, the snide little remark, the roll of the eyes. We find ways, either through our actions, our words, our tone, our heart, we find ways to make sure that person gets a little bit of pain. But as good Christians, oftentimes we're a little more subtle. It might be the tone we use when we speak. It might be emotional detachment from that person. It could be passive-aggressive characteristics that manifest themselves wherever you have the chance. Might be the type of question you ask, seemingly innocent, but knowing that it's going to put them in a bad light. It might wound their soul or deflate their confidence a little bit. Then there are the actions of omission, where you thought about doing something nice or praising them, but you're just going to let that go. You won't say anything. Maybe you're busy doing something and you pull back because you realize, oh, that other person is going to benefit from this. It's things like this, when we're careful to keep the records of the wrongs. When we go to bed early, that's a telltale sign. When we go to bed early and we're angry, we just let, I'll go to bed. Have you ever caught yourself saying words, oh, what's the point? What's the use? You're never going to change. These are telltale signs that there's resentment residing inside of us. When you find yourself rehearsing the wrongs that have been done to you, and you're building up all these reasons why you're in the right, or maybe you have these little mental fantasies, which I sometimes do when people cut me off on the road. I picture myself with a little paint gun pelting their little cars. You know? But that's a simple thing. But what about other things? Do you sometimes in your mind envision a court case where this person is laid bare and have to admit they're wrong, you're right? If we have those thoughts, if we can't entertain them, we might want to think about the fact that we could very easily be carrying around resentment. When we find ourselves being negative, critical, cynical, pessimistic, when we're hard on others and their judgment and we want to exact and we want to demand, this is justice, this is what should be done, these are the scriptures you're not living by. When these things eat us, when we're uptight, when we're gritting our teeth, these are all signs that resentment has not only been inside us, but it's growing. There are many other ones. For example, if we resist the advice of people who say, why don't you be reconciled? Why don't you go talk to them? Why don't you let it go? It's not that bad. Perhaps when we forget to remember all of the sins that we've committed against God. Now, I got this from a lady by Nancy Lee DeMoss. She had a test that you can take that might help you to uncover whether or not you're really carrying around resentment, whether or not you really have forgiven. Because many times we like to say, oh no, I forgave them. No problem. I dealt with it. But have we really? Take a listen to this test. Make a list of all those who have sinned against you. Then get out a piece of paper and divide it into three columns. The first column, write everyone who sinned against you. In the middle column, write what their offense was. And in the third column, write how you responded to that. How did you respond to that? So, for example, you ask that when this person sins against me, did I show them more love? Did I pray for them? Did I do good for them? Go through the things of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Did you do those things to that person after they sinned against you? Or did you withhold love and affection? Have you spoken evil of that person, that ex-employer, that ex-mate, whatever it might be, that person who sinned against you? Did you talk evil about your about someone to a relative, or if there's a new person coming to the church, do you make sure that they know all the things that minister did to you? Have you disengaged? Have you disconnected yourself emotionally, where you don't really care, you don't want to feel, you've protected yourself so your feelings are no longer involved? Have you built up a wall of separation? How have we responded? So I think when we take a look at those things, if you're like me, obviously there's some resentment in there, things that need to be dealt with. So how do we protect ourselves from resentment? The first thing I would say, you need to know and understand that pain is part of life. In one scripture, we're told that it's our calling to suffer this way. So we need to make sure that we're prepared for it, that we understand it's going to happen, it's nothing strange or unusual. It doesn't make it easy, but at least if we know it's coming, we can be more prepared. In 1 Corinthians 13, there's a marvelous three words. And it says, think no evil. In verse 5, it says, do not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. Those three words, if we were ever to fully comprehend and live them, would radically change our lives, our church, and who knows what. But they're not hard to understand. The Greek here about think has to do with like an accountant. When he is busy crediting a ledger book and putting the debits and credits in, he's thinking about where does this go? This is a credit, this is a debit. This is the concept that is contained in here. So what he's saying is when you think no evil, it's far more than we don't impute bad motives. What he's saying is we don't keep a record. We don't very diligently track each wrong and each right that's been done to us. What it's saying is that we don't reckon or calculate the wrongs that have been done. It does not keep records of wrong. So when we think about that, if we were to process all the pains that come to us when we're sinned again, if we don't store it up, if we don't go to bed on this anger, then resentment has no foothold. It has nothing to get a hold of us. We want to deal with it right away. I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to get around to forgiving them, and I'm going to deal with that. Once I heal emotionally, then I'll be able to deal with that. And I think that's the cart before the horse. And if you wait until you deal with all your emotional baggage, if you're like me, you're never going to get around to it. It just ain't ever going to happen. And not only that, you're going to get worse because this resentment is going to build up and you're going to get bitterness and it's going to lead to a whole world of problems. So I say act on it right away. That's the time to decide. Remember that in our life, the purpose is not for us to be happy. It's for us to be holy. It's for us to become like God. So finally, I just want to make about four final statements. And then the first is to be angry and sin not. How do we do that? By not letting the sun go down on our wrath. That's in Ephesians 4:26. Now we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. What do I mean by a ministry? I mean an area of special focus. We're told to especially focus on that area. And so if we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, then it's clear that God's will for you and for me is that we would thrive in and greatly prosper in this ministry. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 and 19, we hear that's where God says that. So if we've been given a ministry, we're supposed to multiply and produce, then we need to produce in this concept of reconciliation. As Christians, we are to follow and emulate Jesus the Christ, who suffered wrongfully, and yet he did return not evil for good, but he returned good for evil. He did this willingly, and he willingly chose forgiveness and healing over resentment and revenge. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. So that is our example. That's how we're supposed to choose to live. It's a choice that we can make. Lastly, in Hebrews 12, I think I'll just read this verse. In chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all people and all holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, which is resentment, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. Why? He was filled with resentment. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Resentment is a bitter and painful pill. Don't swallow it. May God be with us as we examine ourselves and as we prune out any root of bitterness, any resentment that is in our hearts and our souls.